Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Chicago, became a Jesuit, and spent 34 years teaching school in Peru. In 1996, he started Crystal Ray Network, 24 inner-city schools that serve young people through a miraculous work-study model. Every student works one day each week in a white-collar professional setting, and the graduation rate exceeds 70%. His name? Father John Foley, S.J. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Father John Foley, the executive chairman of Crystal Ray Network, which he founded in 1996. Father, welcome to Detroit. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's a delight to be here. I love the name of the program, Anything is Possible, because how many things are never going to be because somebody thought it wasn't possible? So the idea that anything is possible is that this go-for-it attitude is what's going to make things different for us, I hope. And I just think it's a tremendously healthy attitude, and it's a tremendously healthy motto. Anything is possible. I'm delighted to be here, Jack.
We're both from Chicago, and I'm a huge Cubs fan, so anything is possible.
Okay.
We had a tough century, but... Right. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Oh, I'm happy to do that. I was brought up on the northern suburb of Chicago, northern suburbs. I lived... always went to the local Catholic grade school. I have one brother. He's older than I am, and my father was the local Buick dealer, so everybody knew Foley Buick, and just a very, very wonderful, privileged upbringing that I had. When it came time to go to high school, I came within a hair of going to the local public school, and my father prevailed at the end. And I ended up at Loyola Academy, which was at that time was in Chicago. So I did get into the Jesuits' a sphere of influence. And as you can see by the Roman collar that I'm wearing, it was a lifelong initiation to a tremendous organization.
What's the biggest thing you learned from your mom, Father, and what's the biggest thing you learned from your dad?
My mom was a tremendous believer. My mom was tough. I remember snowy Lents when my mother would be up for daily mass, and I went with her to those daily because I figured it was a good thing to do, go with your mom to church, and that I think had a profound influence in my life. My mom was a lot of fun. She knew how to have a lot of fun. And my mom taught me to laugh a lot, I think. So did my dad. My dad was the famous. He was famous for his one-liners. My dad was great for just the off the cuff comment that would kind of crack people up. My dad was quite an athlete, and I was not quite an athlete, but he was always that didn't bother him, and that I always found that very. I was afraid, I suppose, in my adolescent years of letting him down. But no, he was very supportive, and my dad was just a tremendous family man, and keeping everything going at home and keeping us all doing what we had to do.
How was it, Father Foley, you decided to become a priest?
That is quite a story, Jack, because how did I decide to become a priest? As I was growing up, my family was always very close to the local pastor, the pastor of our local Catholic church. And as I was growing up, that was a huge influence in my life. And I began to think, gee, maybe God is calling me to be a priest. And I wasn't relishing the idea at all. I thought that being a priest was kind of cutting yourself off from the best things in life. And I didn't relish the idea at all. But so then I ended up going to the Jesuit high school and couldn't. Then I met Jesuits and I thought, well, God is calling me. First of all, I better not let God down. I better not get him on my wrong side. So if God is calling me to be a priest, I better do it. And then it was, well, what am I going to be, a diocesan priest or a Jesuit? Neither of which appealed to me. So one day when I went in, just when I was a senior in high school, I went into the counselor's office and I said, you know what, sign me up for the Jesuits. I can't decide. And that day I got the best piece of advice I ever received in my life. And it was, if that's the way you feel, forget the whole thing. So I said, God, look at that. I told them to sign me up and they said no. So that's not my fault. So then I went to Georgetown University for just 1 year, and about 6 months into Georgetown University, I actually had I was just overwhelmed by a gift from the Lord. The Jesuits are the door opened to me to be a Jesuit, and then I wanted it more than anything in the world.
You become a Jesuit, and they send you to Peru for 34 years. Tell us about that in 2 minutes.
Well, it was the time when John the 23rd had asked for all the North American religious institutions to send 10% of their personnel to Latin America. It was like a religious invasion of Latin America. So I was directly affected by that request of Pope John the 23rd. And the Jesuits in Chicago went to Peru. I told them that if they needed people to send, I was available. And so they said, great, you're going. And I didn't know how long I was going to be there. I didn't know Spanish. In fact, I was being prepared to teach French. I didn't know Spanish. And I ended up being there for 34 years because I wanted to be there, because I liked it, because I loved it, because I fell in love with the culture and the people and the tremendous work that we were doing there.
I've heard a number of times on this show that you learn much more from the poor than you do from the rich. Why, Father Foley?
Well, I think that they're a lot. They live in much closer to the edge, and they're therefore very much into reality. They don't kid themselves. When they're hungry, they're hungry. When they're desperate, they're desperate. I think that the poor have their pulse on what human nature is really about and what life is really about. They're confronted with radical reality day by day.
We're talking to Father John Foley. When we come back, we'll ask him how it was Cristo Rey Network got started in 96. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Father John Foley. Cristo Rey Network today consists of 24 schools in 17 states. It's an association of Catholic high schools that serve urban young people through a miraculous work-study model totaling 6,000 students. And you came here in Detroit in 2008. How did it ever get started, Father? The concept, etc.
The concept came, let me tell you, in 1995, 1994, the Jesuit Provincial of Chicago wrote me a letter and said he wanted to get something going in Chicago for the Hispanic population. He said they're all Catholic anyway. We should be serving them in a special way. I want to begin something that will be to their benefit. So he said, would you come back from Peru and would you be part of that? So I came back in 1995, and it was decided that we were going to have a high school. We're going to have a college preparatory high school for the Hispanic population of Chicago. So we did that. We began organizing the school. What a luxury it is, and it was, to organize a new high school. There aren't many cases of that in our world today. But so we were organizing a new school, and one day the provincial said to this committee that I was working on, there were three of us Jesuits beginning this school, and he said, have you thought about how you're going to fund the school? And we looked at each other and said, well, no, we really haven't gotten there yet. So he said, well, you better find out. You better address that problem. So what was what saved us was we knew a man who lived in Chicago who was an extremely original thinker, and he thought out of the box. A couple of years before that, I had met him, and he had suggested some ways to me in which third world countries could reduce their national debt or their international debt. So this person really thought out of the box. And so we said, well, let's go ask him for some ideas. So what it comes down to is that we hired a consultant to give us some ideas. We said to him, give us some ideas on how to fund a school in a place where people can't afford to pay for it. People don't have the money to go there. So he thought about it for a few weeks and came back and said, what if every student had a job? So that was the birth of the Cristo Rey model. And we thought it was a great way to earn money to pay the bills to keep the doors open for the school. And now it turned out that what he came up with and what we developed was this extraordinarily rich educational model, because the idea of having kids go out to work is just tremendously educational for them. Not only is it an economic solution, it's even more importantly, it's an educational model. Every day, so our schools are all two things. They are schools and they are temporary employment agencies. All of our students are both our students and our employees. So they come to, all the kids come to school every day, and 25% of them don't come into the building. They get on our buses and we go drop them off at the places where they're going to work, where we have gotten them jobs, white collar jobs, entry level clerical jobs for them to work 5 days a month. It's kind of complicated, but once you see it on paper, it works. Once you see it on paper, it makes sense and it really does work. So by working 5 days a month, these young people pay or earn the majority of the cost of their private college prep education. It's a tremendously rich concept. But what we never thought of, what we never realized, and what has just been a gift from the Lord, is that not only do they earn money, but they get so excited about life because they see themselves in an adult work situation and they have a place there. They see the biggest problem, I think, Jack, with center city education is a hopelessness. When people they just don't see where they no place to go. They have no place. There's no way out, and so they give in to despair. Whereas what this program gives to our students is that there is a way out. They can see that there is a place to go. They can see that they do have a future, and they can see why they're going to school. They're going to school the other 4 days of the week so that they can apply what they've learned and the skills that they've learned to their work situation. So we have young people across the board in all of our schools. What they like most is the job. They come to school because they love the idea of going to work in an adult situation.
The name of the consultant, Rick Murray.
That's correct.
Now, these are not just jobs, Father. These are white-collar jobs.
Correct.
You've got 46 companies in Detroit that sponsor these kids. And these are law firms, hospitals, I mean, Alex Partners, R.L. Polk Consultancies, etc. If I was in that room with you and this Rick Murray back in 96, and he threw this out, I'd say, wait a minute. I believe anything is possible, but this is impossible. A 14-year-old, ninth grade, Hispanic kid from the inner city is not going to be able to do a white-collar job. How?
Well, you're absolutely right. Maybe I was the biggest skeptic. But I had friends that have told me since, they've said, you know, when you told us what you were going to do, we thought you were crazy. We thought this was never going to fly. So how does it work? First of all, all the jobs are entry-level clerical jobs. So they're all offices, and they do the jobs that have to be done by somebody anyway. Because it doesn't make any sense to make up a job. Just doesn't work. The kids can see right through that immediately. They realize that you're just being nice to them. So it has to be a real job. They work mailroom. They work filing. They work envelope stuffing. They work the messaging services to other offices of the company. And then, of course, when the student is a little bit more advanced, there's a great story of the president of a bank calling one of the kids in to tell him how to work his something on his telephone because he couldn't figure it out. But the kid, the 14-year-old came in and told him exactly how to do it. So the kids bring a youthful spirit to the office. They contribute to the office by the employees feel good that their company is doing something for the Center City kids. The employees themselves get involved. They come to school to see the kids play sports. They come to school for graduation. And the kids love to have their supervisors come to school and show them off.
Let's talk now about the company. So you went to a couple companies, said, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a different kid 5 days a week.
Correct.
So Miguel's going to come every Monday.
Right.
And Rosalita's going to come every Thursday.
Correct.
To do that same job.
Right.
And you want me to pay you to employ these kids. How did you ever get the first couple of companies to agree to that?
Well, I'm laughing because that's exactly what I thought. Frankly, it was because we went to the Jesuit network of alumni in Chicago, because that's where the first school was. We went to people that have been, there's a huge Jesuit influence in Chicago, just like there is in Detroit. Loyola University is there, St. Ignatius College Prep is there, Loyola Academy is there. And now, of course, there are two more Jesuit institutions there because of the Cristo Rey model. But we went to the old boys of Jesuit education, and frankly, it was a tribute to the Society of Jesus. It was a tribute to the Jesuits that so many people just said, "You're a Jesuit. You're going to do this? Sure. If you guys are going to do it, I bet it's going to work. Sure, we'll do it. We'll sign up." Because that's what we had to do. We went out to test the water. We when we had the idea, we went out and started knocking on people's doors to say that this is what we want to do, and if we do it, will you hire us? Will you hire our kids? And I remember the day we came back home and we said, we're getting too many yeses. This is going to work. And I think I was the one that was most worried because I was the one that was probably most skeptical.
Why the name Cristo Rey?
Cristo Rey is Spanish for Christ the King. So some people might think it's Latin. Actually, some people call it Crystal Ray, R-A-Y. They haven't got a clue about what the name of the school is, which is certainly understandable because maybe they've just never heard the Spanish expression before. But it means Christ the King. And Christ the King is a concept that's very strong in Jesuit spirituality. St. Ignatius talked a lot about Christ, his king, Christ the King. St. Ignatius was a courtier in Spain, and he gave his life for the King of Castile. And one of the biggest points in his conversion was, why am I doing so much for the King of Castile when I could be doing it for my heavenly King? So the whole idea of fighting for the kingdom of God and being a soldier for Christ the King is very strong in Jesuit spirituality. That's why we chose it.
We're talking to Father John Foley, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
Welcome back with Father Foley, the executive chairman of Cristo Rey Network, which he founded in 1996. Father, you get this 14-year-old ninth grader, never been downtown, never been in an office building. How do you prepare him or her to go to the first day of work?
Great question. We really do have, we used to call it a boot camp, but maybe for 3 weeks before classes start, the students come to school and they learn how to dress. They get prepped in how to run a copying machine. They get prepped in how to answer the telephone, how to take a note when somebody leaves a message on the telephone. They learn how to shake hands with an adult. They learn how to look people in the eye and not look down. Not be a kind of a retiring personality. Actually, you have to. What the maybe the strongest requirement to come to Cristo Rey is that you have to be employable. You have to have the skills necessary to carry on in an adult atmosphere, in an adult office. No, many people don't even know that this is a 14-year-old. They just go into an office and they see this person there, and they just take it for granted that that they're probably an adult anyway. But so this 14-year-old has to have the spunk necessary to fearless about asking a question when they don't understand. We teach them that it's okay not to understand. Ask then and find out what it is you didn't understand. Get it straight. What is it that they want you to do, and how do you go about it? So don't be afraid to ask questions. You become part of the whole atmosphere at the office, and they just love it. It's the thing that the kids most like about going to a Cristo Rey school. They love the idea of going to work.
And one of the first things you give that kid each year is a business card.
Correct. Right.
Fabulous.
So these 14-year-olds are handing out their business cards, and that grabs people's attention. So they say, oh my gosh, this isn't. See, these are all real jobs. And normally a company would hire a person maybe often enough off the street, and that person, the stability of that employee is very precarious. I mean, they might just not show up after 3 weeks and just be gone and fall off the map. We guarantee the presence of a student. If there's any complaint, and sometimes there are, if there's any complaint about a student, we immediately replace the student with another student, and we bring that first one who had a problem back to school to prep them more and to prepare them more and to give them the tools necessary to be successful in the future.
What happens if the student misses work?
First of all, they miss, yeah, maybe 1% of the time or less do they miss their work day. Because if they do, first of all, because they like it, because it's what they most like about coming to school. And second of all, if they miss on a work day, we actually fine them. We tell them, then you owe the school, then you owe us $100, because that's how much you would have earned if you had gone to work today. And so don't miss. Now, we fine them $100, then we give them ways to earn that money back, or at least a great percentage of it, by coming on a Saturday or working on a holiday, working it out with their employer where they can go down on another day to fill in the job for the day they missed. So it's a tremendous learning experience for the young people. It teaches them how responsible they have to be. And just by the way, the work obligation is primary. If we have a soccer team at the school, which probably we do, all of our schools have soccer teams, as far as I know. If we have a soccer team and the school has a game on Wednesday afternoon, and the goalie is working on Wednesday, well, then we look for another goalie. That's just it's interesting, Jack, because sports kind of take the place that they always had. They're for fun, and the people enjoy playing them, and they're not the most important thing going for the kids.
If you want to learn more, www.DetroitCristoRey.org. www.DetroitCristoRey.org. God has been a terrific partner for you. In a way, you've been like a doubting Thomas time after time. And one day, he sends the 60-minute crew, and you get a segment. Talk about that if you would.
Oh, Jack, that was just a huge blessing. In the first years that we were in business, that we were open, a friend of mine from my high school days said to me, would you like to be on 60 Minutes? I said, are you kidding? Of course we would. And so he said, well, my son knows a lot of the people on 60 Minutes, a lot of the producers. Let me get the word out to them. What was our surprise when we got a call that 60 Minutes was coming? And so we were in Chicago, 60 Minutes was in New York. I don't want to exaggerate, but I think easily they made 12 trips to Chicago with their cameraman, their interviewer, and their producer to film hours for the 60 Minutes segment that we were on in October of 2004. And it was finally came on the air in 2004. Then it was chosen to be on American Airlines, on those segments that they give on their overseas flight. We got letters from people. We saw you when we were flying over India, and so that certainly was very consoling and a lot of fun. But the 60-minute segment. I call our baptismal certificate. It kind of or our birth certificate that we really were an entity. We really were alive and well, and people began to take notice of us. And so it's an extraordinarily important point in the history of our school.
Then God gave you a wedding gift one day. A lady from Seattle called and wanted to come and see you. Tell about that day.
We caught the attention of the Gates Foundation about that same time. They actually visited our school in Detroit, and they said, this is a wonderful concept, this is a wonderful thing that's going on here, but the Gates Foundation does not support schools. They said, we support networks of schools, but not an individual school. So we said, well, we can be a network. And so in Chicago, we weren't, then we let the Gates Foundation know about our network. We let them know that we were a number of schools. And one day they had told us on a certain date, somebody from the Gates Foundation is going to come and visit you. So we didn't know who it was going to be. And the day before that date, they called and said, it's Mrs. Gates. Melinda Gates is going to come to visit you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And she wants no reporters. She wants no publicity. She doesn't want to see you, Father Foley. She wants to see the students. So Mrs. Gates wants to be with students when she gets to the school. And that's what she did. She came. She went right into the dining room, into the cafeteria. She had lunch with one set of students. Then she had the second set of students came in, and she had lunch with them too. She sat at the table with them and talked with them. And then she let me show her around the school. And Mrs. Gates' comment at the end of her visit was, this is magical. This is magical. And she remembers that. And she's been a tremendous supporter of Cristo Rey for all these years.
North of 16 million.
That's right. So, that's right.
God's good. And we're talking to Father John Foley, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back with Father John Foley of Cristo Rey Network. Father, you've been quoted as follows. It's certainly true that God works in surprises. First, I didn't want to be a priest. Then I fought against being a Jesuit. As a Jesuit, I never wanted to leave this country to work. And finally, when I was growing old in Peru, after 34 years, I had no desire to come back to the U.S. I can honestly say that all through my life, God has been where I never expected to find him. We all fight to surrender. Let go and let God. And every time you've surrendered, he's won championships through you. Talk to us about surrendering.
What a powerful question that is, Jack. I think that there's a dosis of naivete in the whole thing. I think the danger is being ahead of God, and knowing more, figuring you understand the situation better than God does, and therefore that keeps you from surrendering, I think. But if you are simple enough, naive enough. And I say that in the most positive sense. If you're simple and naive enough to say, hold it, I'm not in charge here, I think if you let it go and let things happen, then I think history is teaching me in my life for that the four reasons that you just pointed out there. I think that my life is teaching me that don't try to run it. Don't try to run it. And I mean, actually, that's good theology, that God works in surprises. God is so much bigger than anything, than anybody or anything we've ever come across, that God just blows our minds with crossing boundaries and doing so much more than we ever could have thought possible. So I think there's a there has to be a generous dosis of saying, God, I don't have the answers here. I think you do. If there is an answer, you will come up with it. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow where you lead me. And I'm not going to try to call the shots. I really think that's essential in this whole thing. I think that's what we mean by surrendering.
You joined the Jesuits 56 years ago. So you're no spring chicken. Your enthusiasm, your zest for life, your aura of happiness screams across these airwaves to every listener. How do you still have that enthusiasm and zest?
I think that's what it means to have a vocation. I think whatever that vocation is, whether it's the religious life or married, how many priests are bored with their situation? How many married couples are bored with their situation? I think that the secret is in a sort of a, in either of those cases, an attempt to constantly renew yourself, an attempt to constantly extend yourself, an attempt to constantly take chances and see if maybe this is what God is asking me to do. Maybe this is what God is calling me to do today. I never did that before, but maybe that's what I should try to do, because God's calling me there, and because God's never held back by what we did before or whatever that is. But so I think extending ourselves, breaking down those barriers in our own personal history, and doing things, taking chances, is invigorating, and it brings you closer to God, because you can't do that on your own. So it brings you closer to God, and it's exciting. It fills your life with interesting things and interesting projects and satisfaction. So you see all these kids going to school, and you think, my gosh, who would ever believed it? A thing that I was skeptical about at the beginning, but went for anyway, is having so much success.
This is a very rewarding time of the year for you and your team, because this is graduation month. Mm-hmm. You've gone to a lot of high school graduations here these last 13 years. What do the parents and the grandparents of these students say to you, Father Foley?
Well, often enough, they say it through their tears and through their embraces and through their tremendous excitement to see this child of theirs, who's probably in most cases is the first one in the family to graduate from high school. So it is, you're right, it is extremely satisfying and consoling to see kids filled with so much hope that they're raring to go. They're going from here with their diploma in their hand. They're on their way to college. They know where they want to go to college, and they're facing it fearlessly, and with a lot of challenges along the way, but anything is possible, Jack. That's what they're doing. They're subscribing to that philosophy, and they're going for it. So it is, you're right, it is a very consoling time, and we are the most blessed people around. I am the most blessed person in the neighborhood.
Right now you have 24 schools in the network in 17 states, 6,000 students. After 14 years, Father Foley, what's been the single biggest surprise for you?
Well, the single biggest surprise, Jack, has to be that this thing works, that it blows our minds that... That this crazy idea that some people said, very dear friends of mine said, you know, I thought you were nuts when you proposed this thing. It works. Not only is it, people are applauding it. People, the companies love it. They say it's good business. It's life-giving. It's exciting. It's wonderful to have this young, youthful spirit in our office, and the kids really produce. So the one biggest surprise is that I would never have believed. I like to say that the first day that the kids went out to work, I wanted to hide under the desk because I thought there was a strong possibility that by 10:30 in the morning they would have called up and said, "Please come and pick these kids up. I don't know what we're supposed to do with them," and it was just. And now we're 6,000 kids. 14 years later, we're 6,000 kids across the country. Doing that, going out to work 5 days a month. But as a matter of fact, the first day they did go out to work, they did call the office and they were thanking us for sending the kids. So it's been a tremendous. We're extremely lucky. The thing works.
Father Foley, what are your goals and dreams still?
Just to hold on. To go where this leads us. Now we're extremely involved in tracking our students and in seeing where if the education that we are giving them, the preparation that we are giving them, actually does see them through college. So we keep extending our goals. We keep at the beginning our goal was to get them through high school, was to open a school, and then we changed our goal to getting them through high school, and then we said no, that's not enough, let's get them into college. That was our third goal, and our fourth goal, the one we're on today, is how many of our freshmen finish college. So we just keep moving and we keep trying to hold on.
As we end this glorious show tonight, would you lead us in a closing prayer, Father Foley?
I would be privileged to do that. Lord, help us to be bearers of your good news. Help us all to be good news to each other. Help us all to be aware and sensitive to your love present in our world around us. Help us to see the positive in each one of those who are at our side. Help us to get excited about making the world a better place. Help us not to be complacent. Help us, by all means, help us not to give in to despair or hopelessness. Help us to see you at work in our world, and help us to follow you every day more closely.
Amen. Father Foley, you're a fascinating example of the great power of surrendering to God. Thanks for sharing your amazing story. Please keep it up.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you for the privilege of being here.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.